This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. Today, NFL free agency frenzy been going on all week long. The official start of the new league year was on Wednesday. Today is Friday. 170 signings have already been made in free agency. Massive trades have happened in the last 24 hours, and we're here to break it all down, including talking about who hasn't been signed. Like, who's still on the market at this point, just 2 days into the official start of the league year. A lot to talk about and a lot to break down, but first and foremost, let's start with today's trade, and it was a big one. Deshaun Watson going to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for not one, not two, but three first-round picks. For the first time since Herschel Walker have three first-round picks been dealt for one player in the NFL, in NFL history, mind you. Full terms of the trade, we'll pull it up here, courtesy of Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Deshaun Watson plans to waive his no-trade clause to go to the hashtag Browns. Sources tell me and Tom Pelissero, yes, the Browns. The trade compensation still to be finalized with the Texans, but Watson has made his choice. He expects to go to Cleveland. On top of that, Deshaun Watson getting a fully guaranteed 5-year, $230 million super mega deal contract, which is $80 million more than the previous record for a fully guaranteed contract at signing, passing Aaron Rodgers' deal from last week. This deal is negotiated by his agents and first reported there. Furthermore, when the trade details came out just a few hours ago, the Browns and Texans are in agreement on a trade for Deshaun Watson. It's a 3 first-round pick, as I mentioned, also a 3rd-rounder and a late-round pick swap, a 4th for a 5th. It's done. Deshaun Watson is a member of the Cleveland Browns. And this is honestly just mind-blowing. This trade just absolutely came out of nowhere, shocked everybody, shocked me in particular when I saw it. Everyone thought that this deal would not happen until the end of the weekend, and it was not going to be the Cleveland Browns. We were told the Cleveland Browns were out on Deshaun Watson, and instead it came down to two teams, the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, of who would land the now no longer criminally charged, you know, hopefully getting all of his legal situation done with. This is a guy who, at his best, is a premier quarterback in the National Football League, an easy top five guy at the position. And no question, the Browns did everything possible to get back in this conversation today and get this deal done. And oh my goodness, what a massive trade the Cleveland Browns put together in terms of getting Deshaun Watson on their team going into this next season. And really just opens the door for what the Browns could be going next year. And it's exciting to see how this team is going to be formed going into next season. New wide receiver one and Amari Cooper they got for a 5th-round pick we talked about last week. You know, they didn't lose anyone. They didn't lose any of their players except for, you know, cutting Jarvis Landry. They still have Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, the bulk and huge offensive line that they have, the menacing defense that's, you know, hopefully in the next few hours, potentially next few days, looking to bring back Jadeveon Clowney as well on that defensive line with Myles Garrett, kept everybody in their secondary intact. And honestly, now they have the opportunity to recoup some of what they lost in terms of trading Baker Mayfield, getting potentially a 2nd-round pick back, maybe a little bit more tacked on by a quarterback-needy team where now the market is just wide open. Now this giant domino has fallen in terms of Deshaun Watson. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield first and foremost. Going back to earlier this week, Baker Mayfield requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns said that they will not be honoring his trade request and that he will be their quarterback, basically if all hope fails, with Deshaun Watson. And obviously now here with you guys, that happened. Deshaun Watson is a Cleveland Brown, and now their attention turns toward figuring out what they can do with Baker Mayfield, who's interested, where can they ship him to, and, you know, hopefully make things right for him going forward for the rest of his career. Baker Mayfield, rumorly out there on Twitter, wants to go to the Indianapolis Colts. Now we'll see if the Cleveland Browns will honor that request and send him to another AFC squad, or do they just not listen to him? Do they send him to an NFC squad in Seattle? Do they send him maybe potentially to the Carolina Panthers? A lot of options and suitors potentially available now for Baker Mayfield now that this big domino has fallen in the AFC North. And wow, just no one expected this out of nowhere, literally out of left field. This deal came together today. Getting Deshaun Watson onto the Cleveland Browns is a big move by the team and honestly by the Houston Texans. I really like this deal by the Texans, what they got, and from both sides, really. Andrew Berry did a great job negotiating this deal. It's a big hit, you know, losing his first-round pick this year and the next 2 years. But look at this team. What did they honestly need to do with those first-round picks? They're built top to bottom and now have their quarterback capable of leading them deep into a playoff run next season. And for the Houston Texans side, looking like that Ian Rapoport was reporting, they're going to use these first-round picks acquired by the Browns, including their own first-round pick this year, the number three overall pick, to build around quarterback Davis Mills going into his second season. And if he doesn't work out, they now have the capital to move on and find a different quarterback going forward for the future of their franchise. But they now have the blueprint and the building blocks necessary to build this team back from the dump, you know, back from being basically a near CFL expansion team in Houston. Now equipped, arsenaled, ready to go with this new trade, getting rid of Deshaun Watson. And honestly, another thing to consider here with this Deshaun Watson trade is an interesting nugget that came out pertaining to his first year. This coming year of his salary will only be $1 million. And that's, you know, a big indicator that Deshaun Watson most likely will start the season on the suspension list, will miss the first couple of games of the season, potentially well into the season, depending on the NFL ongoing investigation with his legal situation. But the Cleveland Browns made a smart decision, and the agents of Deshaun Watson got together, worked out this contract with this first year, so it's going to be an easy, breezy move if he has to get suspended, where they're not, you know, paying him a bunch, they're not burdened by him through this first season, and they still have Case Keenum backing him up, which would be a great, reliable starter to open out the season. I'm excited for this Browns year, and I know all you guys don't want me to hop back on the Browns bandwagon again, but Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Donovan Peoples-Jones, David Njoku coming back again, Anthony Schwartz. There's so much talent on this team offensively now for Kevin Stefanski to run this offense the way he wants to run it going forward this year, with nothing holding him back, no restrictions, injury provided. It's a lot to be excited about. And the future of Houston has all the pieces right now to start building and, start building this team back up into what it once was. Now let's talk about the next trade that happened last night, and one I necessarily don't want to talk about, but we have to. Davante Adams is headed to the Las Vegas Raiders, teaming up with former college teammate Derek Carr in Vegas, in Sin City, leaving my Green Bay Packers. This one's tough. This one hurt a lot, seeing that report come in yesterday, but we'll pull it up here. Davante Adams, from Ian Rapoport, final thought for now on the Davante Adams trade. His agents Frank Bauer and Kenny Chapman confirm that the Packers offered more money than the contract he will eventually sign with the Las Vegas Raiders. Simply said, it was his lifelong dream to be a Las Vegas Raider. So here's the trade compensation. Up top with the Raiders and Packers in this blockbuster deal from yesterday, with the Raiders getting the best top two, not two wide receiver in the National Football League in exchange for a first round pick and a second round pick in 2022. The Packers now armed with five picks in the top 100 in this year's NFL draft, including, I believe, the 22 and 28, don't hold me to it, picks in this year's draft. 22 from the Raiders and 28 as their own. So two picks in the 20s in April's draft. But like he says here, the money matters, and the money matters and is a big factor in the trade value. And as you see at the bottom, the Packers potentially offered more money than the contract he'll sign in Vegas. At the end of the day, the bridge seemed to be burned in Green Bay with Devontae Adams. It's something that couldn't be mended going forward. And, you know, you hate to see him go, but you love to see him leave and get another opportunity elsewhere. So that now opens up interesting situations for the Green Bay Packers in terms of their future. They got Aaron Rodgers back. He knew of this move that would happen. Still agreed to sign on his extension with the Green Bay Packers. Speaks to his volume and expectations for this team next year, continuing on with the Packers, which I am thankful of. Having him back as a Green Bay Packer is huge. Him alone is enough to make this team competitive next season, even without Devontae Adams. But ultimately, Matt LaFleur's offense isn't built around Devontae Adams. It's not built around a dominant number one caliber wide receiver who can flat out dominate a game. That's not the offense. The offense is Matt LaFleur's offense with the RPOs, the screens, the bubbles, the run game, a strong offensive line that is purely dominant in its own shape and form, and then Aaron Rodgers. That is the Green Bay Packers offense, and that, I think, hasn't been detrimented at all with the loss of Devontae Adams now, you know, almost 24 hours, right at 24 hours since hearing the news yesterday. That is my honest reaction. I'm excited for the Packers and what they do with this capital going forward. You know, they're still going to be interested in the veteran wide receiver market, as they should be, with their number one wide receivers now being either Alan Lazard or Randall Cobb, whoever you want to put at the top, and not much behind them. So the Packers will be in the market for a new wide receiver in the next few weeks, whether it's going to be, you know, free agent Jarvis Landry, potentially exploring trade opportunities, say a Brandon Cooks, maybe Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf from Seattle, maybe even call the LA Chargers about one Keenan Allen, or even another free agent, Odell Beckham Jr., potentially joining the squad in Green Bay. So I'm excited to see what they do with this capital, not only the draft capital, but the money saved. You know, $20 million got freed up on the Packers salary cap to use. They're expected to bring back Rasul Douglas on defense, continuing to build up that defense that was purely dominant last year and a focal point of that team's run into the playoffs. So this is going to be interesting, an interesting adjustment for Packers fans, but not one that we've never seen before. You know, we've seen James Jones leave for the Raiders. We saw Jordy Nelson leave for the Raiders. Multiple times we've seen the number one receiver in Green Bay try to explore greener grasses and better opportunities elsewhere. And the Packers stayed resilient, found their next guy, and kept pushing things along forward. So I don't expect anything bad to come out of this for the Packers. Might be jinxing that here, just saying that. But still, I'm hopeful. Hopeful for the future of what they can do in these next 3 years with the Super Bowl window they have. And I don't think all hope is lost with Devontae Adams off the ship. And I'm happy for him. He got his back, and he got the opportunity he wanted to in Vegas, teaming up with Derek Carr in that offense, with now multiple things in play for Josh McDaniels to work with in that offense. You know, just that running back, you got Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. In the passing game, you now have Darren Waller. You now have Devontae Adams teaming up with Hunter Renfrow at wide receiver. Add in Brian Edwards as well, is trying to come along in his professional career. And Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams alone are two of the best route runners in the National Football League, right there at the top five, both of them easily in terms of route running ability. So it's going to be hard to guard those two, especially in short yardage red zone situations. Then you add in a big body like Darren Waller. That's going to be a fun offense to watch and a fun division to watch next year in the AFC West, which only got better throughout this year's free agency. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Talk about these free agents that have now signed onto new teams. We said 170 new signings this offseason alone. And like I said, it just started on Wednesday, technically, officially, the new league year. So let's talk about some of these moves and start off with this guy right here behind us in Von Miller. Signed the biggest contract so far out of all the free agents with the Buffalo Bills. Agrees to a 6-year, $120 million deal. Pretty much has an out after 3 years on the contract. But the Bills came out of nowhere. Who would have thought 5 years ago that Buffalo, New York, of all places, would be the spot for a free agent to look into in free agency in the NFL. That's what happened right here with Von Miller. He had the option to stay and pursue another ring in Los Angeles with the Rams. They had a great offer for him. He admitted it was enticing, but he wants to be a part of what's building in Buffalo with Brandon Bean, with Sean McDermott, with Josh Allen on that team, a huge presence on that defense, on that defensive line that they invested a lot of capital in last year in the NFL draft with Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham with their first two picks of the draft on that defensive end position. And now they're adding in 32-year-old Von Miller, who is the, you know, Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl winner, future Hall of Famer adding to that defense. Huge monster contract by Von Miller and the Buffalo Bills, making a splash to really just shake up free agency and what we were expecting to see come out of it. And the Buffalo Bills in general have had a pretty decent free agency. Outside of Von Miller, they still have made some pretty good moves here and there, getting some guys onto the squad. And right now, I think they are the Super Bowl favorites going into next season with Josh Allen. But some of the moves, you know, tight end, O.J. Howard, bringing him in. This team hasn't had a star tight end in forever during the, especially during the Josh Allen era. Still looking for that true, you know, tight end in that offense. Dawson Knox has been great, but he's been in and out of the lineup. Now they're adding a guy in O.J. Howard that can be a second fiddle to a Dawson Knox in that offense in case he eventually goes down. Mitch Morris, their center, got extended. They brought in Roger Saffold, which is a big pickup at offensive guard. Continuing to build on that defensive line like I was talking about, Shaq Lawson on the edge. You got Jordan Phillips at D-tackle, Tom Siddle, Daquan Jones at D-tackle. That's really filling in for the Harrison Phillips and Star Latulier releases. And I think that, honestly, I don't know if they're done. I think they're also a team that could be looking at a potential another wide receiver in the free agent market. They did re-sign Isaiah McKenzie and Jake Kumerow, touchdown Jesus, but they released Cole Beasley yesterday, so they're still going to be looking for another option to go alongside of Stephon Diggs in this offense. So expect them to, you know, keep building and keep going forward throughout the free agency process. But I like what the Buffalo Bills are doing. Being a hotspot in free agency is not anything that anyone expected out of the Bills this year, and they're doing it. They're building it piece by piece, and I'm excited to see this team next year, like I said, being the Super Bowl favorite, in my opinion, as of right now. So next up on the list of big Mondo contract, how about J.C. Jackson signing and getting the bag? Five-year, $82.5 million deal with the Chargers, one we all expected, but the Chargers continuing to build up that defense. Last week, we talked about the trade landing Khalil Mack on that defensive line for Brandon Staley. Now Staley adds a premier lockdown corner, you know, interception machine to go alongside now second year cornerback on this team from last year's draft. Asante Samuel. Last year they drafted J.C. Jackson, now coming in on this five-year deal. They're putting a lot onto that defense in terms of what they're doing in Los Angeles. And honestly, you know, getting back Mike Williams, they re-signed him after giving him the franchise tag, got him onto an extension after that. This Chargers team is going to be very interesting next year. Definitely one that you won't want to sleep on. I'm hoping they eventually get into the playoffs. Got close to it this year. I'm still hoping to see that first playoff appearance by Justin Herbert. Hopefully it's next year, but in this AFC West, man, difficult, continuing to be difficult. I mean, you talk about the Raiders adding in, like we said in the trade, Devontae Adams. They also added in Chandler Jones on that defense. You know, the Denver Broncos added in Russell Wilson on their defense. They went and added Randy Gregory as well. The Kansas City Chiefs added in Justin Reed and just got Juju Smith-Schuster today. Golly, that division in the AFC West is going to be absolutely brutal. They're going to absolutely beat each other apart every single game these four teams play against each other, and I'm excited to see it. I mean, quite honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a division as strong as the AFC West is going to be next year. All the talk about the NFC West the last few years, I don't think it has anything on what is going to come next year out of this AFC West division, and it's going to be crazy to absolutely consider, crazy to even think about going forward in that division. But I'm excited. They're just going to pound and bloody each other piece by piece until there's just absolutely nothing left for any of those teams to do except try to squeak by into a playoff spot. But let's keep going through the line here on some free agents that we need to discuss. Some more just bargain deals off the top here that are coming in, the big money bags, not necessarily bargains, but the big money bags. Brandon Scherff going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 3 years, $49.5 million, solidifying that guard spot in front of Trevor Lawrence, leaving them now open to anything at the number one overall pick, which I'm excited to see what happens there in the draft. Marcus Williams going from the New Orleans Saints to the Baltimore Ravens, who love having a premier safety at the top of their defense. They got Marcus Williams on a 5-year, $70 million deal. Everyone expected them to go out and get Tyrann Mathieu. He is still on the board currently right now, has not been signed as a free agent right now, coming from the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs found their safety in Justin Reed, and now the Ravens found their safety in Marcus Williams as well, the two expected suitors to land. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger in free agency, found their guys instead on the outside looking in. Allen Robinson was another big deal. 3 years, $46.5 million to the LA Rams, adding a second fiddle now, actually maybe third, maybe fourth fiddle to that passing offense for the Super Bowl champs in Los Angeles. The question now is, what do they do with Odell Beckham Jr.? Do they keep trying to pursue him in free agency? And what do they do, especially with Robert Woods? Now apparently coming out leaks yesterday from Adam Schefter, that they could be fielding offers for their wide receiver coming off a torn ACL, potentially, and putting Allen Robinson alongside Cooper Kupp with Van Jefferson, and maybe a re-signing of Odell Beckham Jr. as well. So Bobby Trees, another name potentially being on the market here in the next few weeks to consider. We talked about Randy Gregory. He went to the Denver Broncos after briefly signing with the Cowboys. Scratch that, coming to the Broncos for the same contract, 5 years, $70 million on that edge front now with Bradley Chubb. Oh my goodness, AFC West, you guys got to calm down and be careful out there. Just some more interesting nuggets to consider. Hassan Reddick going home to Philadelphia on a 3-year, $45 million deal, leaving the Carolina Panthers. A couple of re-signings, sticking with their teams. Quandre Diggs staying in Seattle. Ryan Jensen staying in Tampa Bay. And we'll just go through the Tampa Bay ones. Carlton Davis as well, 3-year, $45 million. He is re-signing. Rob Gronkowski expected to re-sign, more than likely coming up soon. Chris Godwin signed a franchise tag, turned around and re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Russell Gage from the Falcons, 26-year-old wide receiver, signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And why are we talking about the Buccaneers? Because quarterback Tom Brady announced that he will be unretiring and returning to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2022. So all of them came crawling back yet again for another year. Who is honestly surprised by that one? They're all coming back to Tampa Bay, running it back again with the Buccaneers, trying to make another push for a Super Bowl ring. That, you know, one they got last year, and then this year the LA Rams. So they're looking to bounce back and reclaim the Lombardi Trophy down there in Tampa with Tom Brady. Who's surprised to see number 12 back in action? Not me. And also with him coming back, I'm not surprised to see all these guys crawling back as well, re-signing with the Buccaneers. Leonard Fournette, that's another one to consider with the Buccaneers potentially re-signing. Not sure what they're going to do at running back. So let's talk about now some of my favorite signings. And actually, let's start off with some of the busiest teams. We talked about a few of them, but still some I want to talk about, especially one with this guy on the other side of Von Miller behind me in Christian Kirk. So let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars and what they're doing. Rulers of the number one overall pick have honestly made a splash. Trent Baalke in free agency is starting to spend some money, much like what we saw Bill Belichick do last season. Just out of nowhere, just all crazy spending spree, left and right, throwing money at everyone that they can. Let's look at who they brought in so far. We got Brandon Scherff, who we discussed, coming in at offensive guard on that big contract. We got Christian Kirk on a huge deal, made him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the National Football League, coming in at 4 years, $72 million deal for Christian Kirk. They also added in wide receiver Zay Jones coming over from the Las Vegas Raiders, Darius Williams coming over from the LA Rams, Trey Herndon coming in at corner. They were able to re-sign him. And another signing they made, tight end Evan Engram, linebacker Foy Olukun, and more pieces expected to be on the way. They did release Miles Jack, which was kind of a big release in my opinion after signing Foy. I thought that they had a great athletic duo at linebacker, but then Miles Jack got released and promptly signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers in free agency. But what a splash the Jacksonville Jaguars have made. They're spending money that they have and that they have been needing to make. We haven't seen much from the Indianapolis Colts, and honestly, that's the one where I expected to come out of nowhere with the amount of cap space they had to really start to do something in free agency and start throw some money around and get some players on their team. But really, it's been the Jaguars spending the bulk of the money this year on all these contracts. Now have the number one overall pick in the draft. This is a team that's going to be exciting to see what they can do bouncing back next year. You know, Trevor Lawrence entering into a second year, a much more stable position now with Doug Peterson coming in as their head coach. You know, Doug Peterson alone just makes the entire situation in Jacksonville a lot more stable than Urban Meyer last year. But Trevor Lawrence coming into a second year, he's going to have his buddy Travis Etienne back at running back, teaming up with James Robinson whenever he comes back from his injury. And now these pieces that they've added in the passing game as well, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, Zay Jones, all going in there and teaming up with Marvin Jones and the likes of the rest of their talent there at the wide receiver position. So there's some options in Jacksonville, and they've been spending the bag like crazy getting these guys in-house and figuring out what they're going to do. Another team I've liked in free agency this year has been the Miami Dolphins and what they were able to do in first-time head coach's offseason in Mike McDaniel. So we'll pull up the Miami Dolphins and see what they've been doing. Big splash that they made was getting running back Chase Edmonds from the Arizona Cardinals to be really their focal point, focal point rusher of this offense, coming in and seeing what he can do in the passing game as well. He's kind of their second down, third down back now in this offense, more of a scat back kind of a guy. And then now they got in Raheem Mostert to be their first down, explosive runner, breakout runner kind of guy in their offense. Teddy Bridgewater, they got him in as backup quarterback. And I always say the most important position in the NFL is having a secure and reliable backup quarterback. The Miami Dolphins have always been keen about that in the last 3 years, going from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Jacoby Brissett and now to Teddy Bridgewater, being a reliable option behind Tua Tagovailoa. Had a lot of re-signings for the Miami Dolphins. Mike Gesicki, he's on a franchise tag. Emmanuel Ogba got re-signed. They re-signed Preston Williams. Elanton Roberts, Duke Riley got re-signed. Sheldon Redwine re-signed. And also added a couple more pieces here and there that were going to help this offense that Mike McDaniel is looking to run, that Kyle Shanahan type of offense with the likes of Trent Sherfield and Alec Ingold will be important factors in that offense. Cedric Wilson's one I'm excited to see come into his own at wide receiver and getting a better opportunity than what he was getting with the Dallas Cowboys, with the Miami Dolphins. So they've also done some good stuff. I still think that there are still some splashes the Dolphins need to make, especially up front the offensive line. They did add Connor Williams, but I'm looking more towards the big signings that's still the number one guy on the free agent board and is still there is Teron Armstead. Now that the Deshaun Watson domino has fallen, I think Armstead will go soon. The Saints were in that market all the way down to the end for Deshaun Watson. I think it was causing a lot of backlog on some of these other deals that they were wanting to make. So we'll see if Armstead gets re-signed by the Saints. If not, the Dolphins need to make a call and make a move on him with what money they have left. Will be a huge key cornerstone on the offensive line Another one to consider might even be Trent Brown as well, coming from the New England Patriots. The Patriots ties in Miami. Now, they might not still be there with Brian Flores gone, but I still think it's another one to consider. I think the Dolphins still need to spend money on a big-time tackle. With their pick in the draft, I don't think they'll be able to, I don't think they have a shot in the world at getting a decent tackle in the draft, picking at 29. So the Dolphins need to make a move here in free agency, start throwing what money they have left at one of these top tackles still on the board, and it'll wrap up a great free agent class that they've been able to put together in Mike McDaniel's first year. Another team that I've liked in free agency has been the New York Jets, and we'll pull up what they have done as well. I've liked what they've been able to do, getting in some key difference makers, re-signing some role players that they really like on their team and the likes of that. So LaMarcus Joyner will kick things off on a re-sign at safety. He's going to be teaming up with new safety coming in, Jordan Whitehead, from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I really like this Whitehead contract that he was able to land with the New York Jets. Really just puts him back on the free agent market again at the height, really, of what he can have. A two-year, $14.5 million deal. I think the Jets got him at a bargain, but I also think at 25, he's going to retest the market, 27, 28 at a prime time to get the bag if he plays well and performs well in this two-year contract with the New York Jets. So from a deal standpoint alone, this is one of my favorite contracts that have come out of the free agent market so far, free agency frenzy in the NFL this season. Lakin Tomlinson, a huge pickup by the Jets, putting him at guard with Elijah Vera Tucker. They now have one of the strongest guard duos, left guard, right guard duo in the National Football League, in Tomlinson and Elijah Vera Tucker. Braxton Berrios, Tevin Coleman got re-signed. Nathan Shepard and Joe Flacco also re-signed. All of those guys, role players, key, know their job, know their role with this team. Big to get them back going forward. Two tight ends coming in, which I really like these two signings, the two tight ends coming in to the New York Jets this season. First off, CJ Uzma from the Cincinnati Bengals and Tyler Conklin from the Minnesota Vikings. I like those two signings by the New York Jets. They're two different style players at tight end, which is a huge need by the Jets going into this year. I expected them to fill that need in the draft, getting one of these athletic kind of guys coming into the draft this year in the later round. But instead, they went through and made a big splashes, in my opinion, at two tight ends who I think are very underrated at what they can do in an offense. And then together, putting these two guys side by side, I think it's going to be key going forward for this Jets offense. And next year, they're going to be a lot better offensively than what they were this past season with these moves that they have made. I really like what they're doing. Zach Wilson's got a good cast around him now going into year two. So I'm excited to see how this transpires and goes forward for them going through the season. So we'll go back to the board here and just throw out some other names. Since we're talking about the Jets, they did lose safety Marcus May, even though they got Jordan Whitehead back. Marcus May is going to New Orleans on a three-year, $28.5 million deal, replacing Marcus Williams, who we talked about going to the Baltimore Ravens. Another signing that I do like, and we'll talk about this one real quick as well, a bargain sign. Not really. I mean, it's a good deal, 2 years, $11 million, but I like the fit more than anything, and it's Casey Hayward going to the Atlanta Falcons. I really like this team up that the Falcons are going to put on defense next year with A.J. Terrell and Casey Hayward at cornerback, a young, promising, lanky safety, lanky cornerback teaming up with Casey Hayward, who's been a veteran in the game and he can still play, still capable of some solid to elite upside play at the position. So I'm excited to see that duo come together for the Atlanta Falcons next season. I thought it was a big pickup. More quarterback stuff we do have to talk about. Mitchell Trubisky going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a two-year, $14 million deal, 14.25 to be exact. This one seems like there's going to be an out for Trubisky. Honestly, in my opinion, it seems like the deal that Mike Glennon got in Chicago when Chicago drafted Mitchell Trubisky. And I feel like that's going to be the case here in Pittsburgh. I think Mitchell Trubisky takes the starting reins once the season begins. But I think in April, the Steelers will also try to double dip at the position and still draft a potential guy like Kenny Pickett to eventually be their long-term successor of this franchise. Let's keep it rolling. Move down the list. See what else we got here. The Giants has made some interesting moves as well that we need to discuss and look at more closely. Specifically, Mark Lanowski, a big move at offensive guard, along with John Feliciano, rounding up two offensive guard positions. Glenowski is a guy maybe they can move around, maybe not play him specifically at guard, or even Feliciano, I think even could be moved to center. But nevertheless, two athletic guys that have upside at playing multiple positions on the offensive line, is that's really something that Brian Daboll and this offense needed around Daniel Jones going into this season, and now primed with two picks in the top 10, looking at the New York Giants, where they can now add in a bookend tackle and a difference maker on defense, in my opinion, in the draft this year. So the Giants getting some things done. They got, tight end Ricky Seals-Jones in to hopefully fill that void left by Kyle Rudolph and Evan Ingram. Logan Ryan was the one that, was a questionable release, but one that really came down to cap constraints. For the New York Football Giants, having to move on from him wasn't one that I necessarily liked, in my opinion, but one that, of course, ended up happening anyways, whether I like it or not. So the Giants, interesting as well, the moves that they have made so far this free agency. Let's talk about my Green Bay Packers. The moves the Packers have made, because I talked about how even without Devontae Adams, I still feel like the Packers are in a good spot, and I honestly stand by that statement for the Packers, and we'll pull up the adjustments that they have made to their roster so far this free agency. They did a lot to try to get underneath the cap. The big hunk came off of Devontae Adams, came yesterday after they already had to get down from the cap. So really just freeze them up with the opportunity to, do some more there in free agency. Let's talk about what the Packers have done. Extending Aaron Rodgers now officially on a big, massive contract. Preston Smith also extended on the defensive end. And also Devondre Campbell, one I did not expect to see back on the Green Bay Packers, actually was re-signed on a five-year, $50 million deal. The all-pro linebacker comes back for the long haul in Green Bay, and there's no out to his contract. He is there to stay, being that defensive leader now for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm happy to see him back. Another re-signing was Alan Lazard, who we talked briefly about earlier in the episode, but just a big wide receiver that they needed in this offense to come back. Rasul Douglas, expected to see that news break anytime now from the Green Bay Packers side, getting him back at corner. And now a new punter coming into the fold in Pat O'Donnell, moving on from Corey Bajorquez. It looks like for a moment there they were going to pursue Johnny Hecker. He instead is going to the Carolina Panthers as of today. But we talk about the tough breaks and tough moves the Packers had to make. Za'Darius Smith had to get released. Just the cap that he had, hated to see Za'Darius go. Billy Turner as well also was a guy who was released. And the future for the Packers, we talked about what are they going to do now at wide receiver. A lot of options on the board out there still remaining in Jarvis Landry, but one to consider in the next few weeks is going to also be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. A guy whose market slowed down. We expect to see the market, honestly heat up fast for him going forward. But instead, the market really slowed down on wide receivers thanks to the Christian Kirk deal that the Jaguars gave him. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling still on the open market, and the Packers now looking like with the extra money might enter into a bidding war. Potentially to try to bring him back into Green Bay. It's the guy that Aaron Rodgers loved, how he turned around his career, got in the right headspace, and started making use of being a productive member of the offense in Green Bay. But he's the guy they desperately need in terms of his vertical passing or vertical speed threat that he is into that offense and into any offense, really, which is why you should expect going forward a potential bidding war happen for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And if the Packers end out on top of it, will be a big re-signing at the position that they now have a desperate need at going forward. So we'll see out of these other ones if we can try to pry out a little bit more guys to talk about just here and there. DJ Chark is a contract I really liked. 1 year, $10 million in Detroit, leaving the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chark immediately becomes maybe the 1A to 1B option in this offense with second year Amon-Ra St. Brown. But the Lions also re-signed Josh Reynolds, a good friend of quarterback Jared Goff, and also re-signed Khalif Raymond at the position. And I like the weapons that the Detroit Lions are putting together now into next season to see how they make that work around Jared Goff or potentially a rookie quarterback that they can take in the draft. But the options are there. And DJ Chark's one who I think hopefully having a good year for the Lions could eventually get an extension by the end of the year or into next offseason. I hope he sticks around in Detroit. I think it'd be a great pairing. Still 25 years old, it would be a great wide receiver pairing with Amon-Ra St. Brown for the long run for that team. Alex Kappa, a four-year, $40 million deal with the Cincinnati Bengals was a big one. The Bengals finally getting an offensive lineman. They're in the market to keep building up that front, which is honestly desperately needed for Joe Burrow. But the Bengals this morning and yesterday seemed like they were in the market for Lael Collins, who got released by the Cowboys. That'd be a huge pickup at tackle that they can make, teaming up with Alex Kappa as well to try to rebuild that offensive line that, you know, like I said, is a desperate need going forward around Joe Burrow. See what else we can try to decipher here from these free agencies, free agent frenzy, in some of these signings. Let's see what we can bring up. James Conner, a three-year, $21 million. A lot of people said that's a lot of money for James Conner, but honestly, he's a guy who had nearly 20 touchdowns last season. They lost Chase Edmonds, so I think James Conner will be a lot more of a focal point in this offense next year in Arizona and will be a lot more involved in the run game instead of just being the touchdown machine and the goal line. I expect him to, you know, get a whole lot more target share, a lot more carries, snap percentages, all that type of stuff with Arizona next season. Zach Ertz also returning to Arizona, three-year, $31.65 million contract. They're keeping things in-house for the Cardinals. Really, that's about it that they're the big headlines. I mean, we did talk about nearly like 70 players in the last 40 minutes. That's the frenzy it's been here in free agency. A lot of things to consider. And again, if you got any questions in the chat, fire them away of any of these signings you want me to discuss or talk about any further. But one thing I do want to bring up here is now the market that is left. Who are the guys that are left? And we'll start with this guy right here in the picture, and Tyrann Mathieu. Honestly, I did not expect Tyrann Mathieu to be lasting this long in the free agent market, and I'm honestly surprised, quite frankly, that he is still there. 29 years old, he is entering that downside of his career, but still a defensive leader. The Honey Badger could be on any team that decides to pick him up. And I talked about how it's, crazy that Kansas City Chiefs elected to go a different route and the Baltimore Ravens elected to go to a different route. There were some rumors flying out early this morning about the Carolina Panthers. It's Trey Boston really trying to be the recruiter for the Panthers about a potential added addition to the secondary and at safety, and everyone thought it was going to be Tyrann Mathieu. I think that's officially been debunked. But we'll see. You're not going to quite rule it out at this point. What we learned from the Deshaun Watson situation all week long is not to honestly rule anything out in the NFL this year and in free agency frenzy that's going on. So Tyrann Mathieu is an interesting one who's still out there on the open market. Teron Armstead we talked about as well. I don't know how he's there. I think there's a little bit of a backlog with the Deshaun Watson scenario going to New Orleans. That made him, his market kind of slow down a little bit. So I think he'll be dealt pretty soon. You know, someone's going to want, you know, a dominant bookend tackle. He is, you know, on the other side of 30 at 30 years old. But I still think he has a lot of prime and talented years left in him if a team wants to invest in it. Bobby Wagner, I'm expecting to see him sign with a contender at some point. I don't know who it's going to be. I'm leaning towards staying in the NFC West and signing with the LA Rams. Denver Broncos were an option. I don't know if that's still going to happen, in my opinion, but I do think the Rams are a huge possibility. They still have money that they want to spend and try to pursue some options. I heard some rumors saw some rumors on Twitter, potentially at a Danielle Hunter trade from the Minnesota Vikings, but I think a Bobby Wagner pickup would be ideal for this building franchise in Los Angeles, becoming now a city favorite since I've been here. Seeing how the Rams, after winning the Super Bowl, have really been able to captivate the city. But some of these other free agents, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, they were recruited by Adrian Amos of the Green Bay Packers to, you know, maybe want to reunite and come to Green Bay potentially. But Odell Beckham, you know, still looking like he has some options to consider. A, you know, reunion in Los Angeles potentially, or just continue to test out free agency. But coming off a torn ACL is one that is a difficult scenario for any teams out there. You know, when are you actually going to get Odell Beckham Jr. back? Tore his ACL in the Super Bowl just, you know, a month and a half ago pretty much. So he still has a long road ahead in his recovery. But some of these other free agents that are still out there, Jameis Winston, it's looking like he is potentially going to re-sign, I would say, with the New Orleans Saints after striking out on Deshaun Watson. He knows the offense. You know, was 5-2 last year as a starter in New Orleans. Expect him to come back and re-sign there, in my opinion. And also, who else is here? Za'Darius Smith, he backed out on his contract with the Baltimore Ravens after being released by the Packers. Maybe could have a reunion with the Packers. But I don't know what, you know, a lot of stuff quieted down after he backed out of his deal with the Ravens on the Za'Darius Smith front. There's still guys like Cordell Patterson out here, Kareem Jackson, guys who are players. That I'm surprised are still here. You know, a guy on this board that we have right here in front of you, too, is Calais Campbell, still out there. So interesting players still on the board. Waiting to be signed. This free agency frenzy is going to continue for at least 2 to 3 more weeks until it's finally all started to wrap up, getting closer to the draft. Steph Gilmore, maybe San Francisco, it's looking like for him, potentially maybe even Las Vegas. I know that they're interested in a corner, but not sure how much money they have left now after the Devontae trade and, you know, extension that they gave him, which was insane money in my opinion. But all well-deserved by Devontae Adams. Got the bag, the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. But still, big contracts on the way and things to consider discussing going forward. One quick thing we do want to talk about here, going back, let's talk about actually more broadly going back to it, the Tennessee Titans. Let's talk about them real quick because they made some interesting moves and interesting decisions that they've made in free agency as well. So we'll see if we can pull this up quickly on the Tennessee Titans. Here we go. Re-signed Harold Landry, who got the bag and well-deserved, in my opinion. You know, as a defensive end, pass rusher, outside linebacker kind of deal on that defense for this team. Austin Hooper, they signed today at tight end, which is a big pickup. They've been missing a tight end since moving on from Jonnu Smith last year. Missed one this past year. But it's the ones that they've released that I think are more interesting for the Tennessee Titans. Julio Jones, obviously the big one. But Roger Saffold, he left in free agency. Janoris Jenkins, they had to move ties with him. And Darrington Evans, they did bring in Jordan Wilkins today. I think he's more of a special teams option for them in this team. So I think, you know, obviously the focal point is still going to be Tractor Cito for this team in Tennessee. But this Julio Jones release is honestly the more interesting one to me. to see what Julio does. I know he's getting recruited heavily by the Buccaneers. There are some thoughts that he might return to Atlanta before they strike out on Deshaun Watson. So there's a lot of suitors out here for Julio. The Packers looking for a number one wide receiver now. Potentially Julio makes his way over and makes a run with Aaron Rodgers. Will be something I'd love to see. So that's the Titans front. Now let's talk about real quick for the last 10 minutes we have here on the show about the potential quarterback carousel that's going to continue. Obviously, I think the next big one is going to be Baker Mayfield, as a big trade, in my opinion. I did say that Jameis Winston, I expect him to sign soon and re-sign with New Orleans. But Baker Mayfield, he prefers the Colts after this Watson stunner that happened earlier today. We'll see if the Cleveland Browns honor his request and ship him to Indianapolis or not for, you know, a couple day two picks, potentially, in my opinion. So he is one that I think will be the next guy to fall. We still have Jimmy Garoppolo out there. We'll see what happens with him. Marcus Mariota is still a free agent. Potentially could be a fit somewhere as well. Jimmy Garoppolo, really the holdup for him is the injury and the surgery of his shoulder. I think it's backlogging the potential trade out of San Francisco for Jimmy Garoppolo. They're waiting on all the medicals. Matt Ryan's one to consider. I would throw a name out, if I had to throw a name out there for some quarterback needy teams. See how the mending situation has gone there after all the Deshaun Watson rumors in Atlanta. If he's still happy and still feels, appreciated and respected, we saw the inverse of that with Baker Mayfield, wanting to go out before they even got Deshaun Watson, and now likely heading his way out of there in the next few days. So quarterbacks still on the move going in to this new league year. I'm excited to see what happens. There's already been tons and tons of craziness. Honestly, one of the craziest free agency frenzies I've ever been a part of in the National Football League. But still more to come. Tons of people on this, on the board I have right here next to me that are still out there. Guys like Melvin Ingram, still sitting in free agency. Dwayne Brown still sitting out there that no one's looking at. So some things to come in the next few days. Excited to see it all happen. See if we got some breaking news that we have before we move on. Oh, here's one coming in. Cowboys have agreed to a deal with Dante Fowler, so they get their edge rusher after all, reuniting with Dan Quinn back in their time in Atlanta. So Dante Fowler Jr., that's actually a big one. The Cowboys messed out on Randy Gregory. They thought they had him and thought they were going to be able to extend him. Turns out that is not the case. So getting him back is huge, especially after re-signing DeMarcus Lawrence. And honestly, that pass rush going to be absolutely brutal. They brought back Leighton Vander Esch as well. They're going to be able to move Micah Parsons back down on the line of scrimmage and let him be more of a pass rusher next year. Now with Dante Fowler and DeMarcus Lawrence in that pass rushing group, that's deadly. For Dan Quinn to work with on that defensive front for the Dallas Cowboys. One more since we've been on, James Washington, also going to the Cowboys. His home state in Texas, former Steelers wide receiver. Shout out to Dez Bryant. I believe he called that a couple days ago, but it's now official for that. So it looks like that's all of it. Free agency frenzy, week one. In the books, we'll see if anything else happens over the weekend. Going into next week, we'll be back next Friday again. Hopefully, we're going to try to line up a guest this time to join us next week. But we'll get pushed back to the normal time. I apologize for the hour delay we had today. Make sure we got things right with our setup today. But we'll be back and get things rolling along smoothly. 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. On the Slaw Sports Show, at YouTube on the Slaw Sports Show. And it'll also be available on our podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast at the Slaw Sports Show. But I think for this week, that's all we have. Nothing else to really talk about here. I think we hit all of the big ones, all the big trades, all the big signings, all the big releases. Yeah, I think that's everything. So thank you guys for sticking with me. It's a little bit of a burner, and we kind of ran through it here. Talked about all these adjustments going into the new league year. I'm excited to see these new guys in some new uniforms next season, and excited to dive into it as we continue the offseason approaching the NFL draft in April. But for now, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. And until then, peace.